Hi, I'm Christy Uden, CEO at the Board of Certified Safety Professionals. When you think of a safety professional, what comes to mind? Maybe someone holding a clipboard, telling their coworkers what they're doing wrong? That image is common, but narrowly characterizes the fundamental role of a safety professional. Safety professionals play a critical role in the company's culture, making it a place where people want to work. They help us see the impact of the safe workplace and think of safety as something we want, not just something we need. Join me as we take a dive into the many facets of what safety professionals really do and the impact they have for their organizations. This is Safety on Location.
Well, we'd like to welcome all of our listeners back to a new episode of Safety on Location. My name is Charlie. I am joined here by Christy Uden, our CEO here at BCSP. And we're excited to bring a new episode featuring Takeda Pharmaceuticals, which is a global pharmaceutical company. They manufacture life-saving, life-changing therapeutics, and we visited them at their Los Angeles facility.
It was really fascinating to see how they manage safety across such a broad spectrum of environments and some of those unique challenges that they encounter. And so I think the audience will be really interested to see what those many facets were, which include things like lab settings, microrefinery, chemical hazards, emergency response, kind of a whole gamut of things that we haven't gone through before on these episodes.
Yeah, and we're going to start off talking to their head of EH&S. Her name is Angelica Nava. She leads a great team at Takeda. They have a wide variety of specialists covering a lot of different areas. So we're going to jump in right into the episode. So here's our Safety on Location with Takeda Pharmaceuticals.
So my name's Angelica Nava, and I'm the head of environment, health, and safety here at the Takeda Los Angeles plasma manufacturing facility.
Can you tell me what role the EHS team plays at Takeda and how that aligns with your company's overall vision and mission?
So we have responsibilities in EH&S for everything environment, so environmental compliance, as well as ensuring that anything that we're doing at the site is really with protecting the planet in mind, and then health related. So occupational injuries or employees that may just have slight headache or, you know, they have a concern about something they're feeling, they can go over to the occupational health clinic and be seen. And then from a safety standpoint, it's any and every program you can think of, you know, contractor management, confined space, hazardous material handling. So anything environment, health, safety, and then we're also responsible for sustainability. So not necessarily delivering the projects, but working with our peers in the engineering team to ensure that we're continually looking for good projects to drive our sustainability goals that we have as an organization and also that we have as a site. And lastly, the security function of the organization. The site falls under EH&S, so we partner with security pretty closely to ensure that we're doing everything we can to protect our employees and visitors when they're on site.
Just listening to that, there's so many different pieces and parts and people that need to interact. How do you cultivate that support and engagement from all of these outside departments in sustaining these initiatives?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think that sets us apart from other organizations is we have subject matter experts in multiple facets of EH&S. So the responsibility of everything EH&S does not fall on just one individual, but we truly leverage subject matter experts within the EH&S team. So we may have someone that their core focus is contractor management, emergency response. Someone else is really focused on industrial hygiene and, you know, our management systems. We have so many programs that it's very hard to rely on just one person to be successful. So I think we're very fortunate here that we can have teams to become those subject matter experts, and they become that resource for anyone that has employees that are working on those specific programs, whether it be environmental compliance and working with our facilities management team to ensure that we're following all of our permit requirements, or it could be, you know, our sustainability manager working with global engineering on new initiatives and how to bring that back to our site and drive those improvements. So I think it's very fortunate that we can have that because of the complexity of our site and also the diversity that we bring with the industry that we are and all the programs that apply to us.
Something we've heard often on previous episodes of this podcast is the connection between safety and quality. As Angelica was describing their operations, I became curious about how these two values intersect within Takeda. So I asked her if she could share her insights.
It's funny you asked that question. Just this week, we had our all-employee meetings. So we do these meetings 3 to 4 times a year, and we have six offerings of our all-employee meetings to capture all our shifts. And our leadership team presents out on various topics, and EHNS being one of them. And we tend to each leader have 2 meetings that we speak at. And I may be speaking about employee engagement 1 meeting, and the next meeting I may be speaking about EHNS and quality. And just this week I had the opportunity to give the EHNS update. Well, that came very natural to me because that's what I do every single day. But I also gave the quality update. And as I was prepping and reading those slides, it was everything that we also do in EHNS. And when I was presenting on it, I said, you know, we had regulatory inspections. We have regulatory inspections in EHNS and, you know, management systems, every single component that we hit from an EHNS perspective, we also hit those same exact components from a quality side. And, you know, speak up culture, it's not just quality speak up culture, it's EHNS speak up culture. And it was literally, you could add the word EHNS and quality. A lot of the things that we do are shared. So we go on Gembas to focus on quality. We go on Gembas to focus on EHNS, and the systems that we use are relatively similar.
Just a few seconds ago, Angelica used a term that piqued my interest, speak up culture. I asked her to elaborate what that means and how has she seen this manifest at their site.
I learned what speak up culture means at Takeda on day one when I was new employee orientation. And really the culture that we have here is that we encourage people to speak up. If you see something, say something. If you have a concern, a recommendation, an idea, no idea is too small. No concern is too insignificant or, you know, not worth giving your undivided attention to. And we really promote speak up culture for everyone who walks through the doors, not just our Takeda employees, but all of our external vendors, our contractors, our visitors, our, you know, business partners that are embedded in our facility. It's really speak up because something's not right and we need to either make it better or fix it to set people up for success. And it's not just for EHNS, it's also for quality. It's for anything, really. I'm thinking back to, I want to say it was my 2nd or 3rd week here when I joined in, and we were in an all-employee meeting, and the meeting ended and we opened it up for questions and answers, and someone said, this was night shift, and one of the lab techs said, you know, I have a concern when I have to go take samples at our alcohol storage tanks, and, you know, the lighting isn't that great, and I feel that, you know, I could maybe trip, and if it's not me, maybe someone else that goes to sample. And here I am 3 weeks in, still observing what the culture is like here at Takeda. And you know, the leader of the site said, let's, as soon as we're done answering questions, let's take a walk. I would love for you to show me your concerns. And, you know, site leader, along with the leader for engineering, took a walk. And the next day we had temporary lighting in place, and there was a plan to get a permanent solution in place. And it was that speak up culture that I think really makes us great.
Practicing what you preach, I like
it. Yeah. It was pretty awesome. In our next all employee meeting, she got recognition for having that mindset.
After spending time with Angelica, we met up with the newer member of the Takeda EHS team, Sandra. Sandra took us on a guided walk through their lab. Our crew roved up in the lab coats and other PPE, and then we began to walk through the various sections of the lab. It was almost as I imagined, rooms filled with lab technicians and scientists performing work at various stations separated by large windows for clear visibility. Sandra began by giving us more detail on what takes place in each of those stations.
So this is our lab logistics team. So they're the ones who collect our samples from our manufacturing processes. And then we sample for quality purposes. So this is our microbiology side. I guess the microbiology part of it would be just they're exposed to that biohazardous waste, right? We do have our hoods where they do a lot of their sampling. So we have our fume hoods here, but I think that's throughout the whole lab. It's not necessarily specific to micro. So this is our biochemistry side, and this is where we check where the chemical makeup meets the FDA requirements.
So when you do your walk-arounds, are you looking at those things specifically and making sure everything's available, working correctly, everyone's doing what they need, following proper procedures?
Yeah, right. When I do my walks, I'm ensuring that everyone's wearing their correct PPE. If they're handling something, they're handling it safely. I want to ensure that, for example, for our sharps, I make sure that those lids are covered like they're supposed to be covered when you're disposing of them. If they need any, because I specialize in the haz waste part of it. So I just want to ensure that when they are disposing of that waste, they know where it's going.
One question I have is just thinking about risks, because I know a lot of people, when they think about safety, it's like, well, you know, what could happen if I don't have PPE on? Like, you know, some people may not know, right? But like, what's the greatest hazard of not, you know, either protecting your eyes or having a lab coat on, for instance? What would be the greatest risk?
Right, so we have corrosives, right? So there's definitely a burn risk of that. We do have quite a few acids up here, some flammables. I would say probably my biggest concern is our corrosives. For the most part, that they work on equipment. So there's a lot of equipment that needs to have PMs, but we typically outsource vendors for those. I think that's the majority that we have up here. As far as I have been here, I've been working with them for about 6 months. So there's no new risks that I have encountered with them personally.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. But there's just constant communication. If there's any concerns on their end, they know who to reach, and they're always able to reach me if necessary. And then we're also working through our risk assessment process with them, just improving it.
So how does Takeda leverage technology to enhance safety practices and just monitoring that in your laboratory?
Yeah, so we do have our permit to work system, which is our system that we use whenever we have contractors come onto site and perform work, which, like I mentioned previously, the lab does have due to the equipment that they have here that they need to service. It's quite frequent, so it is a digital system, and that's how we review their JHAs, their permits, certifications, and just ensuring that the work that they do up here is done safely.
Let me just ask you a little bit about you for a second in this position. What's one of the things you like best about being in this position?
I'm on the environmental sustainability side of it. So I really enjoy the fact that I'm helping at least to limit the impact that we're having on our planet. So that's really why I joined the environmental side of it. And then also the interactions with the employees. I enjoy making that connection with them, just learning about their lives. And I think making that connection with them, they kind of trust you more. They're more comfortable with you with stating things.
Next, we met TK, another team member, outside near what looked like a small distillery, like something similar to what we saw at Jim Beam. Be sure to check out that episode too. He began by offering a glimpse of what process safety is like at Takeda.
My name is TK Kim. I am the senior environmental health and safety manager on site. So I'm part of our what's called our operations leadership team, which are ones. So we basically execute our senior leadership team's vision into actual operations. Also, I am the part of the EHS team that manages our management system, specifically our ISO 14001 and 45001 certification for our site, as well as our site's process safety management, among other things.
Have you found anything in particular within this industry, the pharmaceutical industry and safety, that is unique compared to other industries?
Programs themselves are not necessarily unique, but the combination of the program that we have to deal with is unique. So we are micro refinery, we are water treatment, we are like chemical manufacturer, chemical processing. So there's, and then we also are water purifier, because we have to have ultra pure water for injection for manufacturing purposes. So there's a lot of the things that kind of comes together in a site like ours. So it makes it very unique.
As TK was describing how the team manages process safety, it was apparent the enormity of the task. Curious about the tools they used, I inquired about the technologies and methods they used to support their work.
As we're walking through the site today, could you talk to us about some process safety management tools that you've implemented?
So as far as the tools, it's an ongoing process. One big thing that we implement is Beacon, the management system software. The management of change is one of the big things that we definitely brought forward into 21st century, if you will. A lot of time, our previous management system software did not either support it or was kind of more manual process. Now we have management of change is done through the software. So we have specific ownership of the project or changes that happens. So they cascade through specific steps of the changes so we can document it. And also make sure that any type of task or action can completed, and that's verified through the system software. So it made it a lot easier.
Do you still face any challenges with moving to this digital platform?
Just in general, like any system, it's the execution is always a hard part. So when we do it, we need to make sure that we talk to the stakeholder, make sure that it's completed. And then also there's some handholding as with any system that is involved as well. And we're trying to do some different ways to it, either benchmarking, or also we do kind of like just mass education, different type of things that we do to make sure that there's that awareness that, hey, if you're going to make any changes, especially that's required by regulation, you should do it.
Have you found it to have any impact on the culture by improving efficiency with a system like this?
When you have a system to document changes like this, you're not gonna come down the line and say, hey, when did they install that equipment like 5 months ago that I didn't hear about? And then, wait a minute, you installed the equipment, but that's installed in the area that really shouldn't be there because there may be flammable atmosphere, but you installed the equipment that potentially can provide spark. So it's some things that our engineer or our other partners may not be aware of, that EHS is aware of, that we want to make sure that we get ahead of it. So that it's the almost like also not just educating them on there's a tool there, but why we use a tool. That's always the hard part. But also it's been gratifying to know that they accept it and that they now embrace it.
What's been the biggest challenge that you faced?
Just making sure that things that we implemented is maintained, ongoing, and not just that, but also making sure that there's that step of improvement is going, ongoing. It's easy enough to say you're a continuous improvement organization, but if you don't embrace it and if you're actually trying to do as yourself, and not just accept that people say this is a change, you have to do it. I think you, as a professional, you also have to propose a change as often as that's being fed to you.
Let me ask you then as well, if you were talking to somebody that was interested in safety process management and looking into getting into that career, what advice would you give them?
Just especially with the process safety, don't think you know anything. Just go with the mindset that I am the dumbest person in the world, just spoon feed me the information. That probably is the best way to go about starting your career.
When we finished our time with TK, we met with another member of the team, Carly. She has a bubbly personality and began to tell us about areas her role focuses on and more about the safety culture at Takeda.
Yeah, my name's Carly Fowler. I am the Associate Manager for Environmental Health and Safety.
Hey, Carly. And can you tell me a little bit about what the safety culture here is like?
Yeah, the safety culture, I would say, is very open doors here. I do feel like people are very comfortable coming to us, and we strive to always deliver results when they do come to us. And I think that's what really builds that connection.
Is there anything in particular that the team looks at implementing in order to develop that? Any tools?
Yeah, I think simplification of our compliance needs, right? So safety is a hard job, right? And there's a lot of ins and outs and things that we have to be aware of, and we have to develop procedures or whatever it may be to remain in compliance. And really that we strive to do is bringing in everyone at all levels from all different areas and saying, how can we do this and be compliant, but also, you know, make sense for the end user, right? So how do we meet in the middle, right? Where, how do we compromise? How do we get it together to where we make the right decisions?
And can you remind me, how long have you been here?
I've been here about 3.5 years.
Okay. Yeah. What was just in coming to this organization, kind of one of your biggest challenges you faced early on that you've seen change over time?
Early on when I now manage the core and technical programs, but I've always been on the core technical team here for safety. And when I first came on board, I had been in more of a generalist role, if you will. So working for a company where it's just me and a couple of other people, where we don't really get the opportunity to specialize like we do here. And so I knew enough to get by with core and technical programs, but here I've really had to learn them front and back and figure out the best way to apply those across various departments. In my previous experience, you know, you had like your maintenance team that does your high risk stuff and no one else really is involved, right? So ultimately here, a lot of our high risk or core technical programs touch people or are required for people of various departments. So how do we make this thing work for all groups involved, right? For me, becoming more of a specialized EHS professional was a hurdle. And then also figuring out, okay, now that I know these things, how do I better implement them for all end users instead of focusing on one core group?
What kind of skill do you think that is important for you to have in order to do that?
Yeah, I think being humble enough to bring others in, right? Especially when you've spent a lot of time with the program, it's hard to be open to sometimes difficult feedback, you know, and kind of just removing yourself from your personal self from the equation and say, okay, this hurts me maybe a little bit, the feedback, like, oh, okay, I thought it was perfect, but you know, sometimes it's not, you know, and really just focusing on, it's not about me. It's not about that ego. It's about making the right decision, the right program, the most simple program, because if it's simple, they'll use it, right? If it's complex, they'll fall out of line with it, right? So that's just kind of how I go about it, at least.
Is there any tips or tricks that you have that help people become or feel more comfortable in speaking up?
Yeah,
talking to you?
I think building a personal connection with them, going and spending time with them, even if I don't have a purpose to be in their area, just saying, hey, I'm just here to see what's going on. How you guys doing? You know, I think it's important for them to not just see you as like the EHS person, but also as just a person, right? And You know, what I found helps me most is just kind of like, I don't know anything about this. You're the most senior person I have around me right now. Can you tell me about this? I'm not here every day. You are, you know, so I'm not the expert. You are, you know, so just kind of breaking down those barriers that we put in place when someone's maybe in a higher level position. And, you know, that doesn't matter. You know, my title here doesn't matter. What matters is getting the right information and making the right decisions and the right program for you, because it's for you. You know, like, it may be my job to do it, but it's for you, right? The end user.
When our team met Carly the day before, she showed us some innovative ways they are using technology for safety training. So I asked her if she could share that with our listeners.
Can you share how you're leveraging technology such as VR in your safety training?
Yeah, so we do have virtual reality training for some of our standard, I would call, safety trainings like fire extinguisher, CPR, first aid. Some with lockout, tagout, or hazardous energy control and fall protection, confined space. The one that we have used most often would be our fire extinguisher and first aid CPR, just kind of a smaller group. VR has its challenges to implement across a large population. But yeah, we definitely have purchased those kind of items, and we are on our implementation journey to figure out the best way to streamline it and get it as a integral part of our training. But we also look at programs, like software programs that we could utilize for compliance, like hazardous energy control and compliance inspections. So we are also working with some vendors to bring on some additional digital aspects of compliance.
Have you noticed a change in what you need to know as a professional as technology advances? How has that impacted?
Yeah, for sure. I think you definitely, in any profession, have to be ready to change with the times, right? You may be learning, you know, Access Excel at one point, and the next year learning how to build a training in a virtual reality, you know? So it's just, I think it's very important for everyone to be open-minded and ready for that kind of change, and just be willing to put the time in to learn about these new things, because they are the future.
What do you like best about this job?
Yeah, what I like about the safety profession in general is the human connection. I think for me, there's safety jobs, of course, that don't have that human aspect. I think if I was to ever move into one of those roles, I would not be happy. So to me, that tells me that's what draws me in, right? Like, of course, the science piece, the, you know, the technical compliance and all of that, and program writing is, you know, a part that I do find fun in my own nerdy little way, but really connecting with the people at this site and helping them to understand why we're doing these things. Really that human connection is important to me. Earlier we were having kind of like a little round table, and you know, I said the best day I've had here at work is when someone just genuinely thanked me for a training. Like, I was like, okay, thank you. And I like ran off to go cry, because I was like, oh my God, this you know, like, it was just so impactful to me that like, this person really appreciates my presence and I've made an impact on their day-to-day life, you know?
So in a quote from your recent interview, I guess you did the other day, you mentioned that mixing of certified safety professionals with frontline workers was where the magic happens. Yeah. And so I was just wondering if you could elaborate on that approach.
Yeah, so what I meant is our team here, we have individuals who have been with Takeda for 10 plus up to 25 years, who started their career here in manufacturing and have worked in various jobs throughout this facility. Our facility has been here 70 years, so there is a wealth of knowledge.
The magical spirit Carly just described is evident throughout Takeda's culture. A shining example of this is Juan, whose unconventional path led him to his role on the EHS team. We took some time to delve into his unique journey.
I know you've had a journey here, and I was just gonna see, could you share that journey with us and what led you to this role on the EHS team?
Yes, I would definitely say my role and my journey has been a little unconventional as far as health and safety professionals. I am not a health and safety professional by trade. At least I didn't, you know, come out of college looking to do health and safety. I have an engineering background. And I was going to college, I took a job here in Takeda Los Angeles, mopping floors, wiping the walls on the janitorial staff. And it turned into one of those things where, let me just for a few weeks, figure out what I want to do with my life, working graveyard. And I remember they would put me into confined spaces to clean some of these tanks. And I was like, yeah, whose job is it to make sure that what I'm doing is okay? I don't know about the program, but I know this is a little sketchy. And so that got me into what we call the safety committees to talk to the health and safety reps. And I found out, oh, there are people, not OSHA, but there are people on site whose job it is to keep me safe. Fast forward, I don't know, 4 or 5 years later, when I was in the manufacturing seat still, I was in helping to run those safety committees. I was a captain of the emergency response team. I was helping the EHS team with their programs on site. So I went to site leadership and said, look, I'm a busy guy already as is. We're in the process of shutting down a building and commissioning some new projects, but I really feel passionate about the emergency response team. We need this team. So I'll help you guys if you guys give me the resource. You guys give me the time. You guys give me some money so we can get it going. And around that time, we onboarded a brand new EHS team. And they came up to me and said, look, you've been doing some stuff on the side. How would you like to do this full time? I said, I don't know if I want to be that guy. I don't know if I want to be the guy who's making these decisions, these calls, but you know what? I like a good challenge, so let's do it. So I, you know, jumped feet first, and here I am 5 years later with the industrial hygiene program.
Well, it's an important one. Now that you're doing it, like, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've faced in this role?
I think one of the biggest challenges is getting people to understand the why. They get the how. I'm gonna wear my fall protection, I'm gonna wear my glasses, but try to truly get them to understand why we have to do this. Sometimes a bit of a challenge. On my side with the industrial hygiene program, tell me, hey, I gotta clip a microphone on you, a decimeter, a sample pump on you so I can see what you guys are exposed to. Get them to understand this is why I have to do it. I need to make sure I'm not exposing you to dangerous levels of chemicals. I wanna make sure I don't have to put you in those tanks that I had to be in. I wanna engineer out the hazards. And get them to understand that my transition to the EHS team was not because I wanted to do something necessarily better for myself, but I really wanted to do something better for them. We have friends and family that we meet here, and there's an emotional connection to them. Like, I really need to make sure that I understand what I know and that you understand what's required, because I really don't want my team, my family, to not go home at the end of the day. So whatever little bit I can do, that's what I want to focus on.
I'm thinking about, you know, listeners that maybe haven't been exposed a lot to the safety profession, and, you know, maybe are your frontline workers, and just what would you say to them about how they could transition and move up in their journey? What would you recommend that they do?
I think the first and foremost, and this one of the most obvious ones, is to truly demonstrate that you're passionate about people. Once you have that passion for people, you have to understand people want to be heard and seen. They want their, you know, their concerns to be addressed. And from there, start trying to figure out, okay, how can I help that? How can I help people be heard and listened and seen? Don't want to do this as a core technical person. Don't want to do this as an industrial hygienist. I want to be a management systems person. And from there, start to understand some of the systems that you work with. For me, making the transition, it was really learning the engineering systems here. Right, so let me learn a little bit about how our chillers work, how our compressors work. Okay, so when things go down, this is what's required. This is what I should be focusing on. And it allows me to then build up my technical acumen, right? So how can I best serve the people who manage these systems, the critical utilities, the alcohol, right? How do I ensure that we're not blowing things up, right? So kind of taking that step. So I would say, figure out what capacity you want to support, but really be about the people, and just start kind of picking apart, peeling this onion back and see what aspect of this career really interests me.
As we wrapped up our visit, I had a few more questions for Angelica about where she sees the future of safety heading, and I wanted to get her thoughts on the value of BCSP certifications and what they bring to their operations.
Is there anything about the future that you foresee being maybe like one of the biggest opportunities for the industry?
AI, I would say for certain. I think that we'll be able to leverage it to really streamline processes and make things faster and easier for us to do in terms of, you know, writing standards or implementing best practices. We were in a staff meeting a few weeks ago, and I said to the team, I know we have themes, right? Safety themes for the site, but how do we take it a step further and come up with themes for off the job, right? So we don't want people thinking safety on the job only, but how do they take it with them? And you know, one of the team members quickly went into some GPT chat or, you know, asked AI for a solution. And here, like 3 seconds later, they send you through chat all 12 months with links to those topics. And, you know, when I started 17, 18 years ago, I would have had to get a book and I would have had to highlight.
So I have to bring it into BCSP credentials. So I would just ask you, what value do those credentials bring to your EHS team?
I think the value that the BCSP credentials brings to the team is it really solidifies the commitment that our team has to protecting people and planet. So it definitely helps when we're having conversations with, you know, external parties, or, you know, just a few days ago, we had a Cal OSHA on site. We're exploring a voluntary protection program with them. It's like an alliance, right? So you go through a process, and the manager that was here was blown away that everyone on the team has some sort of certification or credential. And, you know, to them, they're like, wow, this really solidifies Takeda's commitment to making sure that, you know, the people that they hire are really people that are passionate for safety, really passionate for, you know, caring and protecting. And that was a comment that was shared with us. But I think it really solidifies, at least for me, right? It really solidifies, you know, the value, the true value that we have in the profession and in the career.
And how, you're a CSP.
I am a CSP, yes. I've been a CSP for about 7 years, and I've been in EHS for about 18 years.
And so why did you decide to get a BCSP credential?
So I got the ASP several years before, but I was one of those that, you know, my job kept me busy. And I think that it was a good thing because I was developing those managerial skills, those leadership skills that I feel truly helped me when I went to take the CSP exam. But for me, it was the moment that I knew that this was my life, right? So originally I was a physical therapy major. And I think, you know, when I finished my undergrad program, I wasn't 100% certain that I was gonna dedicate my life to safety. And I think when I started the ASP journey, that's when I knew, like, this is it for me. Safety, protecting people, and helping people is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Are you finding more people recognize the credential than when you first got into the profession?
Absolutely. At least when you're like looking through, when I'm on LinkedIn and reading what's going on, jobs pop up and you see that every single, what they're looking for, the ideal candidate, they're looking for that certification.
With just your background and the additional experiences that you've had, have you found anything unique to this particular industry in implementing your EHS system and building your team?
I think what makes, maybe not necessarily the industry, because this is the only site that I've worked at that's in pharmaceutical, but what I have seen that really sets us apart here from the different industries I've worked in previously is that culture of, you know, caring and driving that engagement across every employee that's here. And, you know, we have initiatives for our employees, and we don't just have it for the day shift when most of the site is here. We really leverage If it means we have to have 6 meetings to accommodate every shift, we're going to do it because we want to make sure that everyone's receiving that same message. And I can't say that I've experienced that in prior organizations that I've been at. And it's hard to explain, but care is really the only thing that I could use to sum it up. When you care about what you do, you're going to make a good quality product. And when you care about people and the coworkers that you work with, you're going to be safe in the decisions that you make, right? So quality is the safety of the patients, where EHNS is the safety of the people that walk through those doors day in, day out.
So Christy, that was our episode. That was our visit at Takeda Pharmaceuticals. What were some of your key takeaways?
The biggest takeaway for me was they really go back to their mission, and they talked a lot about how they deliver innovative treatment for patient safety to improve patient lives and how that connects to everything they do. And so anything within occupational safety, anything at their site is really about the safety of everybody and integrating that into their culture. And you could really, really tell that in talking to the whole team. And so I like how the leadership has adopted that, and they've wrapped their arms around the mission and made it more than just the external, but it's the internal. It's kind of like the lifeblood, right? How we breathe as an organization and how we feel, it all interconnected. And I thought they did a really good job describing how that works.
Yeah, that was something that came through, and everyone we talked to, I think you could tell they were passionate about what they did, but they did keep that big organizational mission in mind. And one thing I really loved was that speak up culture and how they were able to foster that, just starting with the leadership, listening to those frontline workers, but then also taking action once somebody brings up a concern or an issue. That was very interesting to see, kind of refreshing in an organization of that size, to see how the communication flows both ways and everyone's concern is heard.
And they also have the ability to really look at how do I learn about things even outside of my own role and responsibility so I can have a better understanding in communicating with other departments. There's opportunities to actually work within that other department. They have programs that they talked about that I thought was an interesting way to really build that collaboration and more importantly, understanding.
Well, we certainly covered a lot of ground in this visit, and our listeners can hear more from Takeda on some upcoming episodes we're working on. We're working on some things around sustainability and emergency response, where you'll get to hear from not just Takeda, but some of the other companies that we've interviewed as well. So be on the lookout for that. And as always, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Follow us on social media to stay up to date on all of our releases and other information. You know, and also tell a friend about the podcast. I think anyone who's interested in safety or just business operations and seeing how a company works, a podcast like this could be really informative to them. So thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, stay safe.
Safety on Location is a podcast from BCSP with your host, BCSP CEO Christy Uden, executive produced by Charlie Eltringham, produced by Michael Escobedo, produced and edited by Joel Bergai, and editorial support from Brandon Mohawk. If you like this episode, subscribe to receive new episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.